Old Testament reading is from the book of Daniel, chapter 2, beginning from verse 1 to 49. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God for ever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He disposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for you." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise men, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater vision than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Your majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind, and the beasts of the fields and the birds of the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are that king, that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, Lord of kings, and revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. The next reading is from the book of Psalm 18, from verse 30 to 36. "As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's words are flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? Who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my ways secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
If you could stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, beginning from verse 7 to 13. Praise and glory to God. "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
Well, friends, take a seat. It's my joy to welcome my wife to the pulpit. Isn't it wonderful? Let's pray for her. Father, we thank you and bless you for Sarah. All the preparation, Lord, and the prayer that has gone into this. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would breathe through her. Lord, may we understand you more and be drawn closer to you through her words. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Well, we're continuing our study at the moment in Lent, and we kicked off last week with a study of Daniel chapter 1 and looking at Daniel, who was living as a faithful servant of God. And now we're going to continue this week with looking at prayer. And it's one of the three Lent disciplines that Phillips told us that we're going to be looking at. We're looking at prayer, we're looking at fasting, and we're looking at giving of alms. So let's have a quick recap of what's happening in chapter 2. So it's the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, and he rules over the Empire of Babylon. He's pretty new himself to this job by the looks of it, although he's a very experienced fighter and has done lots of conquering of areas. And Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who are Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, the same people in case you didn't realise. So they've been captured from Judah and taken to Babylon. And they've been there roughly 3 years. They've done their 3 years training in the language and literature of Babylon, and they are now considered to be wise men in their community, in the royal court. And God speaks to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, at this time in dreams. I think it's worth noticing that he's speaking to a pagan king who has no interest in him at this time. I find that really quite interesting. God is still speaking to him. He's got a plan for this king. And Nebuchadnezzar is troubled by these dreams. He either doesn't understand them, or he doesn't remember them and doesn't understand them. But he knows he's troubled, and he needs some help. So he calls his wise men in, and he has a little plan. He demands that they both know the dream and interpret the dream. He doesn't want any made-up interpretations. He wants to know that they are actually able to get to the heart of this problem. Well, obviously, like we would say, the wise men are saying, this is impossible, we can't do this, we don't know what you were dreaming. Tell us what the dream is. And he says, no, I'm not going to tell you. And because they can't tell him and they can't interpret it, he decrees that everybody is cut to pieces and executed. And Daniel and the other three are included in this decree. So the men are sent out to find Daniel, and a crisis begins for Daniel and his friends. And the first thing that Daniel does is he asks his friends to pray. And he asks them to pray for revelation and for protection. And God comes in the night and gives Daniel a vision. He gives him, actually, quite a complex vision. Had to cut loads of verses out or we'd have been here till lunchtime. But a very complex explanation of the dream or dreams and a full interpretation for Daniel to pass on. So it's a really good answer here to Daniel and his friend's prayer. Daniel praises God, interprets the dream for the king, explains it to him. The king is suitably astounded and impressed, and honors Daniel and the other three Hebrews, and also gives glory to God for revealing this dream. This was a heart-stopping time for Daniel and his friends. And I would say that the heart of this chapter is the prayer that he and his friends pray. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And in the season of Lent, as we work on the disciplines of Lent, we're looking, as you know, at serving, praying, and giving us in and giving. Many of us don't have confidence in our ability to pray. Perhaps we're inexperienced, perhaps we've experienced disappointment. But today I want to look a little bit about this prayer and the circumstances of Daniel's prayer and see if it can encourage us to dig in and pray a little bit more and a little bit deeper. What is prayer? If you've been on any basic Christian course, then you will have an answer ready for that question. Prayer is communication with God. It's a two-way thing. We talk to God, we listen to God. And communication is a natural part of any relationship. It's really, really important for a relationship to grow and thrive. If I didn't talk to my friends at all, then our friendship would be pretty stagnant and possibly even end. If I didn't talk to Fraser at all, then we'd be in trouble. Our relationship would be dry and things wouldn't get sorted out. If we want our relationships to grow, we have to communicate. And it's the same with our relationships with God. We need to talk with God and listen to him if we want our relationship with God to prosper. Daniel was in a time of life or death crisis. He and his friends were about to be executed, and the first thing he did was pray. So what happened when he prayed? Well, first of all, his prayer set his perspective towards God. It affirmed it and it strengthened it. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Daniel is affirming that God is God and he is dependent on him. He was fully submitted to God, as we heard from Philip last week. And he was well aware of his dependence on him. Daniel knew even he couldn't guess the dream and interpret it. It's not just the Babylonians. Daniel couldn't do it without God either. And Daniel acknowledges this to the king. No wise man, enchanter, magician or diviner can explain to the king the mysteries he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. When we pray, we are expressing our submission to God and our dependence on him. We acknowledge his greatness and his power, his goodness and his mercy. Psalm 18, for who is God besides the Lord? Who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. I called to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. And when we're not praying, we forget that God is at the center. As Philip said last week, we work hard to create a world with us at the center, where all exists for me. And in prayer, we turn that on its head. We enter a world with God at the center, where all exists for God. This is a really fundamental principle for prayer. God is God. We depend on him. And because of that, we pray. And then we realize how dependable he is. And then we pray some more. It's a virtuous circle. And Daniel also fell on God's mercy. Prayer recognizes God's care for us. It's not merely a position of God is Lord and we are his servants. He loves us. He cares for us. We are his children. Psalm 103 says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. God shows mercy to us all the time. We are his beloved children and he loves us. We can throw ourselves on his mercy with confidence that he will respond with love and grace. And God heard and answered Daniel's prayer. God is listening when we talk to him. We're not talking into thin air. 1 Peter chapter 3. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That's us, believe it or not, because of Christ. And his ears are attentive to their prayers. And as earlier, communication is a two-way thing. So he's listening to us, and we have to listen to him. Daniel listened to God. God told him about Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And it wasn't merely a bit of information. God actually gave him a full answer to his prayer. It was a prophetic revelation of the content and meaning of his prophetic revelation to Nebuchadnezzar. That must have been quite an amazing moment for Daniel. And we can practice listening in prayer and ask God for our own aha moments. In my experience, when God speaks to us, he gives us the full package. He doesn't just give us a little dribble of information. He gives us what we need at the time. When I was in my late 20s, newly married to Fraser, I had a sense, that God was asking me to stop working. I had a nice professional job. It ticked all the boxes. When people asked you what to do, you could see their faces were like, oh, really? And so there was a lot of pleasure for me in being able to answer those questions and do that job. And when I felt that God was asking me to step down, I thought, oh, I don't think so. I'm a child of the 60s and 70s, and so I'm really a feminist at heart. And not working is nothing. I never crossed my mind before. I was brought up to work. That's the way that I am. But obviously, if you hear God saying something, you have to pursue with him what is he saying. So we spent some time really knuckling down and praying and listening. And when God spoke, he spoke through a little piece of scripture. I can't remember the exact scripture now. I could look it up, but I haven't got it on my brain. But as he revealed that scripture to me, I had an understanding not only that he's saying, actually, yes, I am saying stop working, but also that he was saying why I was resisting. He solved my resistance at the same time as he gave me the instruction. He said, yes, stop working. And he said, why are you worried what people will think? It's meaningless. And a light went on inside my head, and resigning was easy, and walking it through was straightforward. Life doesn't then become particularly easy, but that decision was very easy for me. So when we pray just like Daniel, we can hear and take part in God's plans and God's purposes. So this Lent, are we listening to the voice of God as we do our daily devotions, as we dig in further with him? Are we allowing him to form and guide us as his followers? So prayer set the perspective for Daniel and the other three. He fell on God's mercy. He trusted that God heard and answers. Why else do we pray? God acts. He doesn't just listen, he acts. We don't just have sympathy, we have a powerful God who moves. Daniel experienced the action of God that he needed, which was the revelation of the dream. And God went over and above what was needed. It's not just that they weren't executed, which is actually why they were praying, but they were honored and they were promoted. So life for them there in Babylon was improved and honor was given to them. When we pray, God hears and acts whatever our prayer is. We could be asking for help. You may remember a little while ago, I gave testimony to how we were praying in the morning at the staff meeting for more volunteers for the op shop. Very, very rarely does anybody walk in off the street and volunteer at the op shop. While we were praying, somebody came into the op shop and said to Tiana, I want to volunteer. God acts, and he can act even in advance of what we know we need. We can pray for healing. Very first time I prayed for someone for physical healing, they were supernaturally healed. And I've prayed for others and seen some miraculous healing. A woman who couldn't lift her arm higher than this, doing this by the end of the prayer. People who couldn't read things, being able to read them the other side of the room. People who couldn't hear, being able to hear far away. We can pray when we need guidance, such as when I was wondering whether to stop working. God's answer was clear, and it got to the heart of the matter. Perhaps, though, you have prayed and you have known God not to act. I think if you were a Christian, you will have experienced this to some degree. Or perhaps you have not liked the answer you've heard. Or perhaps you're sick of waiting for God to move. I entirely sympathize. I have prayed and prayed and prayed in many ways, for many things. And I still haven't seen God move. I'm talking proper, serious, heartfelt prayer, full of faith, full of trust, seeking God's hand, seeking his heart. Family members in crisis, the pain of divorce, the distress of mental illness, loved ones who turn away from God, loved ones who've never known God. I pray and I pray and I pray for all of these situations, all of these people. Why isn't God moving? But I keep on praying because I know God is able. I have seen other instances where he has confirmed to me I can do what is needed. And I know I can't do it without him, so all I can do is pray. And while I'm praying, sometimes he whispers encouragement to me. He says, I do love them. I love them more than you do. And I've got more power than you, and I'm wiser, and my plans are perfect. And in that context, I can keep praying and keep trusting and not give up. And he tells us in his word not to give up praying. God did answer Daniel's prayer in averting the crisis, but I bet you they were praying to be returned to their home in Judah. And he didn't answer that prayer. They were there for 70 years. I imagine they would have prayed it every day. But God had the big picture. He was weaving his love for the world. He knew where he wanted everyone to be and what he wanted them to be doing. He had plans and still has them. So if we're discouraged in prayer, I wonder if we can't see the big picture. I wonder if all we have is that little close-up glimpse of us and our loved ones, and the things that aren't going the way we wanted them to go, and looking how we wanted them to look. And I would just encourage us today, remember, God sees the big picture. He knows what he is doing, and he's wise, and he's powerful. Now, how do we pray? Well, we pray all the time and for everything. There is nothing we can't pray for and bring before the Lord. Ephesians 6:18 tells us to pray in the Spirit on all kinds, with all kinds of prayers and requests on all occasions. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And we know the next verse, don't we? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of Christ Jesus. Push in prayer. Don't worry. Bring it all to Him. Whatever our situation, we can bring it before the Lord. We can pray with others. Daniel talks to his friends and asks them to pray. And we can pray in our fellowship. We can pray as a church. We can pray in our life groups. We can pray in prayer partnerships. We can pray in our families. We can pray at work with our colleagues, if that's possible. Praying together is a scriptural way to pray. Acts chapter 4, we see the disciples who are raising their voices together in prayer to God. And after they prayed, the place where they were was shaken. Many instances where we see people praying together. We come together as a church to pray for matters of mutual concern. Just as we all did when we had a church-wide crisis a couple of years ago, we got together and we cried out to God. We asked for unity and breakthrough. And God gave us the most amazing unity. And we continue to pray for breakthrough. Praying as a church or a smaller group is powerful. Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says, where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. We trot this off quite easily, don't we? But do we actually believe it? Let's come together, knowing that Jesus is with us, and talk to him about the things on our heart. Praying together expresses our united dependence on God as well. We come together as his body to bring things before him that concern the whole body. We show that as a church we are submitted and we seek his power and wisdom for all of us. And we can ask ourselves, perhaps we don't take part much in corporate prayer, that the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. Well, I wonder if we're lacking in confidence or if we feel we are not necessary. Well, nothing could be further than the truth. You are a necessary part of the body, and prayer is part of being part of the body. It's not a competition when you get to a group prayer meeting. It's not a performance. It's just a place to come together and talk to God. In our Thursday night prayer meetings, we have people who pray in their mother tongue. We have very little idea what they're saying. Every now and then we hear words like Spiritus Sanctum, and I think, oh yes, Holy Spirit, and Corazon, oh heart. But that's okay. We're just very happy for that person to be praying. They're praying along a thread of prayer. We can pray in our hearts at the same time. It's a wonderful, actually exhilarating moment when someone is praying in their own language. We have people who pray little short, difficult prayers. They can't quite get the words out. And they give up halfway through. We have people who just come and are silent and say amen at the end of prayers. What I'm really trying to say is, come as you are and pray. It's the prayer that's important, not the performance. Perhaps we are assuming that we don't need God to do much more. Actually, we're quite happy with the way things are, and we can just tick along. Well, I don't think that's the God we serve. I think the God we serve is always doing a new thing. He's got better and more wonderful things for us than we can imagine. If we want them, we just need to ask. Let's come together and pray for those things. Perhaps we've been discouraged in the past and we've given up. Never give up, never surrender. That's for fans of Galaxy Quest. Just keep going. There are many opportunities to join in with church-wide prayer, and I would say keep your eyes out for them. Lots of weekly opportunities and quite a few one-offs for all ages and all situations in life. We can pray together and we can pray alone. Not all prayer is corporate. You're still praying when you're tucked up at home praying silently in your devotional life. Daniel had faithful daily prayer. This was the context within which he went to God in prayer in a time of crisis. Throughout Daniel, we can see this. And just as he did, we can. Jesus in Matthew 6, as part of the Lord's Prayer, tells us to pray for our bread daily. Well, that presupposes that we're praying daily. So it's that daily devotional prayer. And earlier on in Matthew chapter 6, it says, go into your room and close the door. God wants time alone with us. He wants that time where it's just us and him, where it's personal, where it's intimate, honest, relationship building. That's how we build our relationship with God, from which we do everything else in our lives. And pray however works for you. Try some new ways. Pray in private if you don't normally do that. Come and pray in public if you've not tried it before. Pray for other people. Pray standing up. Pray lying down. Pray on your knees. Pray with your hands in the air. Pray quietly. Pray crying out to God at the top of your voice. Pray in tongues. Write your prayers down. Pray freestyle. Use scripture. Pray prophetically. Do short prayers. Do long prayers. Do arrow prayers. Do meditative prayers. Above all, listen out for God's prompting. Respond to him in prayer. He calls us to pray. When we were in trouble for a short season in our last church, it felt desperate. There was a really big and insurmountable problem, and we just didn't know what to do. And at that time, I had a really strong sense that we had to pray. It was more than just an idea. It was more than just a conviction. It was like an urge that was bubbling up within me where I felt, if we don't pray, I'm going to burst. And that was a wonderful gift from God. And it's never left me, really. I pray now all the time. I pray when I'm just going to the shops. I pray at work. I pray at home. Someone tells me a problem. I want to pray. I have problems of my own. I want to pray. It's part of who we are in our relationship with God. Always praying. Maybe you haven't heard that call. I pray that you will hear it. But it doesn't matter, because actually it says in the Bible when you pray. So we're told to pray. God wants us to come to him and talk to him. It's not an add-on for our Christian walk. It's a natural, expected part of our walk with God. And finally, I really hesitate to call prayer a discipline. I know that we're including this in the disciplines of Lent, and maybe it's something we feel we have to try hard to do. But I think we can misunderstand the word discipline to imply that it's a difficult thing and that we have to use harsh and difficult self-control. I would say that walking with God is the best thing ever. And flowing from that, flowing from being a disciple of Jesus, is talking to him and listening to him. It's an acknowledgement of his love and power and a submission to his will. It's part of us, like breathing. And I think if you're not praying, you're not really breathing. So I would say, just pray. Shall we pray now? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for the inspiration of Daniel. Thousands of years ago, Lord, and yet one person like us in a pagan society committed to you. And Lord, you used him in prayer and you answered. So Lord, call us to pray, we ask. Inspire us and enable us to pray. Open our hearts to you. Open our ears to you. Open our mouths to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Sarah, I wonder if I could just ask you just to stay up for a moment. Would you like to stand? What Sarah may have forgotten is that there was a, not to preach, but actually what happened is that someone prayed an anointing prayer over Sarah for her to receive the gift of intercession and prayer. And it was reaffirming God's call in her life. And what I'd like to do is to ask Sarah if she's willing to, yes, don't worry, you can
yes,
do it.
Yes, I am.
You can do it. To pray that prayer over us as a people. Mm. Because we're, I think Jesus said somewhere that his house is to be a house of prayer for all nations. Mm. How many people here struggle with prayer?
I still do.
Great, well, we're in the boat together, aren't we? That means we need him. Mm. And he wants us to pray. Mm. So I'm going to ask Sarah now just to pray a prayer to release the anointing of prayer in our lives.
Well, I suggest if you'd like to receive what God has for you, you could put your hands out like that. Doesn't mean you're not going to receive if you don't, so if you're not comfortable, don't worry. But I find quite often that our body language helps us to receive. So, Lord God, we praise and bless you. And I ask now that you would come by your Holy Spirit and you would impart to each person here your call to pray, your urge to pray. Light that fire within our bellies, Lord, that we can't put out. That all we can do is talk to you, come to you, pray to you, submit to you. Do this as a mighty work now. Send your anointing, I pray, on each and every person here. Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Do your work. If you sense that God is touching you, or even if you don't sense anything, talk to God and accept his anointing. Accept his inspiration to pray. Accept the presence of his Holy Spirit. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Let us walk from here, Lord, as praying people. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.